The title of our lesson today is Jesus Healed and Taught Obedience. Our devotional and background study comes from Luke chapter 4, verse 38 through 44. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
Today's lesson is entitled, Jesus Healed and Taught Obedience. And this is kind of a recap of what it was that Terry taught on last week. It has to do with the calling of some disciples. But there's a message here that's found in this lesson that's a little different. So we find that Jesus has began his ministry after being baptized by John the Baptist and after being tempted by Satan. He's doing his ministry work in and around Galilee. And he has traveled from Nazareth over to the Sea of Galilee, and he's kind of teaching and preaching along the shore or the edge of the lake. And he has acquired a huge multitude of people that are following him. Now, this multitude of people is there not only to hear his message, but to witness the miracles that he's doing. Because you know, if somebody's out here doing miracles, you're kind of curious as to what he's doing and how it's coming about. So whether you want to hear the message or not, you're allowed to go just to see what's going on. And having seen what's going on, I believe a lot of these people were converted. They believed, and I believe they were saved. And I think Jesus' work then was drawing all these disciples to him. And they were in awe and wonder of the miracles and things that he was doing. So then, everywhere he went, he had this huge multitude of people that were surrounding him and pressing against him. So we begin our lesson in the 5th chapter of Luke in the first verse. And it says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and that's the Sea of Galilee. That's just one of the three names that it was called. So he was there at the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and there was a press of people about him. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, imagine, if you will, this pressing throng of people. And so, to get more room, I think, he found this ship, this fishing boat, and he got in it, and they pushed him out a little bit, just kind of give him a little feel for the a crowd of people that was around him so he could back off and kind of present his message. When I think of that, I think about the lesson that's the scripture where it talks about the woman who was healed. She said if she could just touch the hem of his garment. In other words, the crowd of people around him so thick that she couldn't get to him. But she said, if I could just get up there and touch the hem of his garment. And then when that happened, the crowd was so heavy, he didn't know who it was. Because he asked the question, who was that? So you see, he was just pressed with people. So they rowed him out into the sea a little ways. And he began to teach. He said that he sat down in the boat and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, in other words, when he got through, he said unto Simon, which everybody knows is Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now that would be let down your nets and we're going to catch some fish, a lot of fish. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now I'm going to stop right there. Now, isn't this just like us? Now, we've been following Jesus all through this countryside. And he's been healing people. He's been feeding people. He's been healing people. People are being saved. And a spirit, you can't tell me the spirit wasn't there. With Jesus himself there, you can't tell me these people didn't feel that. This is where our lesson comes from. Peter sits there and says, I know more than you. I know we've been out there all night long and we've not caught one fish. Now, you see, that's just like us. We always know more than what God does. Always. And knowing more than God does, we want to do things our way. That's just kind of the basic human nature. We're humans. And that's about all you can say about us. Except for one thing. I do like what Brother Vanderpool said here in his commentary. In the first paragraph, he says, why do we have such a difficult time in obeying God when he instructs us? We can blame Adam, and we do a lot. Haven't you said or heard somebody say, we're sinners. Adam was a sinner. We're born into sin. It's not my fault. That's basically what you're saying. This is not my fault. This is all Adam's fault. But what he says, we can blame Adam, but even that does not excuse you and me because of the many lessons taught in the Bible in our lives since Adam ate the fruit. Adam's transgression is enough to convince us not to question God's instructions. How many miracles do we have to witness to be convinced God is near and our hearts are tuned in his direction? So we have Peter here thinking that he knows more than what God does. And telling Jesus, this is not what we ought to be doing. Basically is what he's saying. But then he kind of goes, nevertheless, okay, if you insist, at thy word, I will let down the net. I'm not wanting to do this, but if you're going to sit there and insist I do this, then, all right, we'll try it. Now, does that not sound like us? Each and every time God wants us to do something, don't we have a better idea? Now, who was the expert here? Was Peter? Yes. He was an expert. His livelihood was based on fishing. Now, he knew where the fish were. Or where they should have been. And they had been out fishing all night. With he and his partners, his brother and those that he were in partnership with. They've been out fishing and caught anything. So he was an expert. And he might have had a right to tell Jimmy that we've been out all night and we ain't called Simon. But when it comes down to Jesus, who had been doing all these miracles and doing all this healing and doing all this stuff, Peter was not the expert at this point. But see, we always think that we're the experts. We know better what we stand in need of than God does. And we know we don't want to go out there in that sea again, push out and drop that net. We don't want to do that because that's going to take time and effort. And I haven't got the time to do that because we've already been out there all night long and we ain't caught one thing. Not one thing. But you're here, and if that's what you want, we'll do it. Now, I would say, and I may be transgressing here myself, but I would say that Jesus probably had a right to say, all right then, don't do it. Don't do what I tell you to do. And they could have gone out there and not got any fish. But that's not the way our Lord and Savior is. He's got a purpose and a reason for everything. And he had a big purpose for Peter. And he was fixing to show Peter something that was just going to blow his mind using today's vernacular. He was fixing to show Peter something that told Peter that Peter was not who he thought he was. He was not the fisherman he thought he was. Now, he was going to be a fisherman, not in the way he thought he was, but in the way that God wanted him to be. So this whole thing was for a lesson for Peter and those around him. Okay, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Or I guess it was breaking, and they had so much fish in it. They had such a heavy load in it. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Now, this is a point in time that Peter became humble and realized he was in the presence of greatness. He was in the presence of something far greater than what he was because of what had happened. And you know, when a sinful way gets in front of God, you just want to change your ways. When your sinful ways are confronted by God, you just want to humble yourself down to them. And this is what this is all about. This is humbleness. This is what God's people, this is where God's people need to be. They need to be humble before Him. And Peter, there are several instances of this that you can find in the Scripture. And I think it's in Samuel. When the ark was being brought, when the Ark of Covenant was being brought to Jerusalem, David was having it on a cart, which wasn't what God wanted. God wanted it carried. He didn't want it on a cart, and no one wants to touch it. But David was stubborn and obstinate. He was going to have it done his way, kind of like Peter. And you can read this account. I'm just paraphrasing here. So they got to this place, and it was stopped. And the Ark of Covenant tilted in the cart, and one of the soldiers reached up keep it from falling over. And immediately God struck him dead. Now, the scriptures say that David became afraid of God. Now, it's my opinion that he saw God's hand in this immediately and quickly felt humbled by the power of God and became not physically afraid, but we've all been afraid of God, of what he could do, what he might do, especially when we feel his spirit there and know that we're in his presence, in his power, then we become humble down. And that's the way I think David did. He became humble. And 1 Peter, this is Peter in later years. This is after he had been out and been around and had been preaching, going about his business. He wrote this in 1 Peter in chapter 5 and in the 6th verse, Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." In other words, those same afflictions that you're feeling when you're tempted of Satan are experienced by your brothers and sisters all over the world. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, you know, we as God's people, we need to read this more often. Humble yourselves before God. And that's what happened to Peter right here. Peter felt totally humbled by the fact that Jesus had done this very miracle there in front of him. And he told him that you do not need to be around sin. And Peter had, I believe Peter was a saved man. But he had sinned and denied in his heart, denied that God was ever perfect and to obey him in all things. And we fail, or I do anyway, I fail many times in doing what God would have me to do. So Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now that's the part, some of the parts, I guess, that Terry taught on last week. This was happening as he was calling his disciples. And we find that Peter took a little encouragement to get to that point. Took just a little nudge to get to that point. And it's just like Bobby Vanderpool said over here, why do we have such a difficult time in obeying God? Why do we? And we can't use Satan as or Adam as reason, because we about wore that out. Sometimes we're just stubborn. Sometimes we don't feel that it's necessary. But whatever our feelings are, when God puts it upon us to do something, it would behoove us. And I think it would please God. Greatly, I think it would please God. If when he puts something on us, if we as his children would actually say, all right, I'm there. I'm good. But too many times we fight that. Too many times. Oh, I fight it. I fight it a lot. And it's shameful when you think about it. When you think of all the things that God has done for you, just like this actually happened, but just like this, as we use for an example, where God was doing all this healing, people were seeing this. Peter saw this. He knew what Jesus was out there doing. He knew who he was. We too see all that God does for us. We see what we have. Look at what we all have. We have what we have. And I'm talking about both spiritual and material possessions. We have what we have because God wants us to have it. He's allowed us to have it. He's given it to us, whatever it might be. And so we see all of this. We can think back over our lives and we can see where we've been in services and know that the Spirit is here with us, so you know that God is working in amongst us. What a blessing that is to know that God is here working among us. So why do we have such a difficult time when God puts it upon us to do something? When we know whatever it is that He has put upon us, it's going to have results. If it wasn't going to have any results, I don't think He would have us do something. But everything that we do for God has a result. There's a reason for it. And the result may be for your benefit, or it may be for somebody else's benefit. We may never know what it is. But we've seen enough to know from God that if He puts it upon us, we should be more than willing to do it because we understand the way that God works. We know how He does. We know His power. We felt it. We met Him. So my lesson sums up today is that as Brother Vanapu said, just how many miracles do we have to witness to be convinced that God is on our side? God is asking us to do something that will be a benefit to either ourselves or other people. And that God wants us here this morning. He wants us here this morning, ready and able to serve Him in all things, to do whatever it is that He would put upon us to do. So when it comes down to it, and as we've talked, matter of fact, Brenda mentioned this here just a few weeks ago, about your heart racing. You know that's God. Your heart just doesn't necessarily just take off and start racing and you get this feeling that there's something you need to do. You know that's of God, and your heart's about to pound out of your chest. So why is it so difficult to do something for Him? I mean, we're here amongst our own brothers and sisters. Nobody's going to laugh at us. Nobody's going to make fun of us. We may do some good. So let's put away the thought that we're going to question God each and every time that He lays something up on our heart to do. And let's be strong enough to say that, God, if You'll just give me something to do, I'll do it to the best of my ability. So that's my lesson. Does anyone have anything to say? Well, I'm glad everybody came. And I hope that we take something out of this lesson, that God didn't save you just to sit. He didn't do that. I think we get that. I think we get that feeling sometimes that I'm saved, I'm okay, I'm good to go. Well, you are good to go to a better home. But there's more for you to do than to sit. So anyway, that's my lesson. If no one has anything...
And you see Peter sitting there on the boat after all that they've been through. And just, Jesus telling him to go out and drop his nets. And it's sitting there just, nah, I ain't gonna fix this, man, why we doing this? It's a waste of time, but I'll pass it by you.
Right.
We'll go out here and I'll pass it by you, we'll just see what happens. It's amazing that, you know, like you said, we should have signed on. He don't want us to wait. And when you do it, when you get your date, and if you still have a ponder on it, think about it, then the moment may have already passed.
See, that's the dangerous part, is he's not standing there forever. He may take that blessing that you might have got, and he'll move on somewhere else if you're just going to sit there and just refuse to do it. So. But Billy, I've wrestled with him a bunch of times.
I always blame me, though. Not
Anyone else?
That's the obedience, you know, the obedience part, the lesson that you should say. You know, we should be, once we're saved, we should be obedient. I guess that is a bad name sometimes because of, you know, some people that teach obedience so strongly, but maybe we should teach it stronger, apparently, you know, what we do, we should be obedient.
Well, and we should be. Just because we know.
But it's our frail human nature. I guess that's an excuse. I mean, I know that's an excuse, but you know, that's...
Yeah, but like Brother Benham said, we might wore that excuse out.
But think about if everybody that was saved, even in her group of churches, never questioned, did everything that God placed on them.
Yeah.
This house has been full.
So I can't say I know Billy because I don't think that's ever really happened. Very seldom I think that God's people all in tune with what God wants them to do. So.
Well, the Bible says my people will turn from their wicked ways.
Yeah.
Build a nation.
That's right.
Or your country or whatever. And he can't even get his people.
No.
A big warfare going on.
It is. It certainly is. And we ought to be ashamed. We ought to be ashamed of how we mistreat God at times. And then, you know, like I said, he didn't have to carry on. I mean, Peter was doubting his abilities. And he could have just said, okay, I'm done here. Row me to shore and I'm moving on somewhere else. But he loves us enough that he's got a job. He had a job for Peter to do. And he wanted Peter to do it. Now, Peter didn't know what it was at that time, but he did. Anyone else? Jimmy, would you dismiss us?
Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. For your lesson on the brother, please. If you go with us, we'll have a lot of service. Lead us and guide us.